Sometimes life's tough. Have you figured that out? I mean, when the storms come, it can be a bit overwhelming. Sometimes we face things and we're trying to navigate these situations. And the obstacles, they just seem immense. The opposition seems huge. In fact, at times it can almost crush your spirit. We've all been there. In fact is, I know some of you are there today in your life. You may be facing some things at work, maybe at home, in your marriage, with your kids. You know, maybe things are financially, they're just out of hand, or perhaps it's a health crisis. Maybe your past has caught up with you, and now you're facing a very daunting reality of the cost of things. Some of you are ready to give up. Some of you are already given up. In fact, you know, I'm just curious, how many of you have given up on your New Year's resolutions already? How many of you were like a day in, hours in? I mean, I guess I could lose the weight. I'll never be able to quit this or that. I guess I'll just always be depressed. Here's to surviving another year. And we've got these challenges, and we've got these problems, these obstacles, these dilemmas, these crises, and they can be overwhelming at times. In fact, I believe it's very easy to live life defeated. And here's what I want you to do this morning. I want you to think of something in your life where you are overwhelmed. Something where you feel defeated in your life. And it may be huge. It may be something that there really is a lot on the line, and the cost, if you don't make it through, is huge. It may be something, because of where you're at in your life right now, that really, if you were honest, it's not a big deal, but it matters to you. All right? And I want you to think about that and keep whatever it is in mind. If you are a Christian, what I want to do is remind you this morning, and that's what we've been talking about through this series, I want to remind you who you are. Some of you need to write this down today, put it on your refrigerator, because this is a life-changing reality in your life. In Christ, you are an overcomer. Not you will be an overcomer someday, but in Christ, Christians, you are an overcomer. That's who you are. That's who God says you are. And when you know who you are, you know what to do. You are an overcomer. It's what the Apostle Paul was talking about in the scripture we're going to look at this morning, Romans 8. Paul starts out, he says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? You know, I love this verse because I believe some of you today, this is the verse God wants you to hear. That he wants to embed it in your heart. You know, when you look at that obstacle, when you look at that situation that you're facing, Paul says, look at that thing. If God is for us, who can be against us? You know, if God is for us, who can be against us? In other words, what is going to stop you if God's in your ballpark? It says, he who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not with him also give us everything else? Everything else. You skip down a few verses, and Paul kind of clarifies things by, he really asks a question that he's trying to get Christians to think here. He goes, who will separate us from the love of God or love of Christ? And then Paul's going to list seven obstacles, big obstacles in life. Obstacles that you perhaps have faced in your life or you will face in your life. He goes, will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Now, Paul lifts these seven things up. And it's interesting because 2,000 years later, Paul asks us the same question, and it's still a powerful question. It's a question that is worth asking in your life. You know, will hardship or distress, will that separate you from the love of Christ? Some of you are going through crisis right now. You're going through a hardship. You're in distress. You're in trouble in your life. Some of you might be battling a health problem, maybe a challenge in your marriage or something with your kids, and it is a hardship. You're in distress, and Paul says, will that hardship, will that distress separate you from the love of God? See, he's trying to give us a foundation to stand on. Paul goes on, he goes, well, what about persecution? You know, what about persecution? You know, some of you might be in school and people avoid you at school because you've chosen to live your life in a God-honoring way. In fact, let's just cut to the chase. Some of you, maybe your friends make fun of you for that. You know, perhaps your faith costs you at work. I have conversations with people all the time and they say, you know, it's just not right. You know, I've chosen to live a life of integrity, and so I can't close all the deals that everybody else closes because I'm not willing to lie. You know, I'm not willing to play in the gray. And so my boss has discounted me. The reality is we live in a world where honesty, it's not always welcome in the marketplace. It's not always welcome in the office. Paul says, shall that persecution separate us from Christ? Again, foundation stuff here. Paul says, well, how about famine, nakedness? Now, I was thinking about this as I was preparing this week, and the fact is, I don't think any of us are going hungry. And I'm very thankful you all have clothes on today, you know. Yeah. But here's the deal. I mean, even if you are poor, 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 you live in the United States, compared to the rest of the world, we are rich, rich, rich. Famine, nakedness, you know, not so much. But you might translate this a little bit different. Maybe you have a financial hardship in your life. I mean, it's that too much month left at the end of the money, you know, been there. How are we going to pay the bills? Are we going to have to file bankruptcy in our life? Paul goes on, he goes, well, what about peril? What about sword? And again, Paul's writing in a day and time, and his audience, they might have to die for their country or for their faith because of the country that they lived in. Again, I think we're isolated from that. But a lot of people in this world are not isolated. Did you know last year, 150,000 people died? They were killed for their faith in other countries. We're free to worship in this country. So peril, sword, you know, maybe translate it, maybe a physical hardship in your life. Maybe it's a doctor's report that the doctor says, you know, this doesn't look too good. We need to do some further tests. Maybe that's the peril in our lives. But Paul asks a question. He goes, who will separate us from the love of Christ? What will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? You know, Paul asks a question. He runs this list of seven things, big things. And then he answers the question. And I love Paul's answer because he says, no. No, 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 no. I mean, he's yelling it. He's emphatic about it. He says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. All these things, he's reminding us who we are in Jesus Christ. He says we're more than conquerors, not because of our power, not because of me, not because of you, but we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Friends, in Jesus Christ, when you give your life to him, we're not just overcomers, We're conquerors. We're more than conquerors. It's who we are. You know, the Greek, there's a word, nikaio. And nikaio is commonly translated conqueror. That's the word that's commonly used. It means to win, to be victorious in our lives. That is not the word Paul uses. Paul uses the word hooper, nikaio. He says, we are more than winners. We are more than victorious. We are more than conquerors in our life. How many of you have seen Dish Network? They've got the commercial, and they're trying to get you to sign up and get the APA. How many of you have seen it? All right, you can help me a little bit here. So you got this DVR that you now can record 6 shows at one time. Imagine how much TV you can watch now. And you got these people, and they're all around the house in different places, and they go, the hoppa, the hoppa, the hoppa, the hoppa, the hoppa. And I'm like, okay, I get it, the hoppa. Now here's the deal, it's cool technology, but the hoppa, not going to change much in your life other than you can record a lot of TV and watch a lot of TV, so... Hooper Nikaio is powerful. It changes things. It means to vanquish beyond recognition your enemy, the challenge. It's a decisive victory. It is more than winning. This isn't winning just lightly. It is demolishing your opponent. You know, we're not talking about winning the game in the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter with a 50-yard field goal that barely gets through. No, we're talking it's 72-0, and you just started the game. We're talking a God-type victory. We're talking about a God that vanquishes our opponent beyond recognition. You know, it's the story. Remember when the Egyptian army was tracking down the Israelites? They had... Let them go from Egypt. Let them go from slavery. God had moved, and so they're leaving. And the Egyptians decide they want them back. And so they're bearing down on them. They got them trapped. They're surrounded by the sea. They're going to kill the Israelites, the unarmed Israelites. And God parts the sea. The Israelites go through. The Egyptians are pursuing them. And they get about halfway through, and God lets the water crash down on them. And Scripture says they were totally, utterly destroyed. That's the kind of victory. You know, we're talking Gideon, and this might be a good devotion for you this week if you're looking for Judges, the 6th through the 8th chapter. It's a great read. But God sends an angel to Gideon, and he asked Gideon to take on the Midianites, who were very, very powerful. And Gideon immediately says, I can't do that. I'm afraid. And the angel says, God is with you. And he says, you're a mighty warrior, Gideon. You don't believe it yet, but that is who you are. Gideon, he starts doing the math. He's strategizing. Midianites have 135,000 people. I've only got about 32,000. God says, Gideon, it's too many people. He's thinking, I agree, there's 135,000 of them. No, Gideon, you have too many people. I want you to thin the ranks, Gideon. I don't want you to take credit for what I'm going to do in your life. I want you to ask everybody that's afraid to go home. So Gideon gets up, asks everybody that's afraid to go home. 22,000 people walk away. He's down to 10,000. God says, Too many, Gideon. I want you to do a test, Gideon. Take the people down to the river, and those that get on their stomach and drink the water from the river, put them on one side. And then, Gideon, the guys that kneel down, put them on the other side. And so only 300 of the men get down on their stomachs and kind of lap like a dog out of the water. I am absolutely sure, Scripture doesn't say this, but I am sure Gideon's thinking, oh good, only 300 guys did that. God says, Gideon, see those 300 guys? He goes, yeah, I know, it's only 300, thank you. Those 300 guys, that's your army. Story gets better because God then says, hey, here's what I want you to take into battle. I want you to get clay pots, horns, and torches. That is not an impressive arsenal. But Gideon was faithful and he did what God instructed. And so they blew the trumpets, they broke the pots, they carried the torches, and they screamed for God and Gideon. And it's interesting because Scripture says the Midianites woke up in the middle of the night and they're running around, they're about half asleep. They start pulling out their swords, and I think because in those days, many times you'd have rivals that would rise up in a nation, and they just break out and start trying to take control. These men all start fighting one another. I think they thought it was a coup, probably. 100,000 of them die. The Israelites just stood and watched. I mean, it's really psychological warfare at its finest. The rest of the Midianites that were left, they deserted. It was a rout. Hupernikao. More than victorious. More than conquerors. You know, hupernikao. It is who you are. You are more than a conqueror. That's who God created you to be. Now, I want you to listen very, very carefully to me. Because you've got to get this. I am not saying that you will never have hardships in your life. I am not saying that you will never face difficulties. In fact, it's just the opposite of that. You will. Plan on it. Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. There will be problems. You will have crisis, disasters, struggles. See, to be an overcomer, you got to have something to overcome. He says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You know, through Jesus Christ, Christians, through Jesus Christ, you're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror. And I know as I say that, some of you are going, I'm just an ordinary person. I'm just an ordinary Christian. No, you're not. You are not. There is something extraordinary about you. You are not ordinary. You are Christ's prized possession. You are filled with a spirit to overcome. You are more than a conqueror. It's who you are when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You read the book of Revelation, and it's some talk about the end of time and that there's going to be a war, and that finally, when that war comes to an end, that believers in Jesus Christ, they end up overcoming the forces of evil in that. Scripture says this, it says, they won the victory over him by the blood of the Lamb, by the truth which they proclaimed. And they were willing to give up their lives and die. Christians, you are more than a conqueror because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. There is power in that blood. You know, Scripture says because Jesus Christ shed his blood that we're able to be forgiven of our sins. That's pretty powerful. You know, the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross, because of that blood, we have access to God. In other words, we can talk directly to God. We can pray to God. We can have a conversation with God. Because of that blood, we're redeemed from this life of sin, from the power of sin. We're redeemed from death. You are an overcomer because of what Jesus Christ did and because of the blood he spilled. And we are overcomer because of what we proclaim. It's what you believe. You know, what's your story? What's your testimony? That's what we used to talk about when I was a kid. I mean, who is God in your life? Or how about this? What has God done in your life? Because what you believe will change how you live. You know, I think about a teenage shepherd boy, name of David. David's visiting his brothers one day. They're at a military camp. They're preparing for war. King Saul, all the army, all the Israelite army, they are cowering. They're afraid because of one guy, a giant of a man named Goliath. No one would fight Goliath. Why? Because he was a giant. I mean, he was huge, strong, notorious. David, this young boy, he's kind of assessing things. He's willing to die. He's willing to give his life up. He goes to King Saul. He says, I'll fight him. It must have been quite a moment, because you get the sense Saul kind of assesses this young man. And then he goes, you know, that's cute. Go home, take care of your little sheep, okay? David says, you don't get it, king. When lions attack my sheep, my God delivered the lion into my hands and I killed him. He says, when bears attacked my sheep, my God delivered the bears into my hands and I killed the bears also. Anyway, king, the way I've got it figured, if God can deliver the lions into my hands and the bears into my hands, I am pretty sure God can deliver this Philistine into my hands. King, you think he's too big for me to fight. I think he's too big to miss. Give me some stones and I'll get out of the way and let me do what God wants me to do. And David, if you know the story, he defeated Goliath. He killed Goliath that day. Now, I've always said a rock star was born that day, but yeah. David, more than a conqueror, that's who you are. You are more than a conqueror because of the blood of Jesus Christ, not because of your own power. You're more than a conqueror because of God's power. You're more than a conqueror by the truth that you proclaim, that you believe. I mean, do you believe that? Can you internalize that? It's not something you're going to be someday. It's who you are in Jesus Christ. It's not something that when I get my act together, then I'll be that. It's not, well, if I know enough and study enough scripture, you know, someday I might be that. It's not, well, when I quit this or quit that or get this straightened out in my life, then I can be a conqueror or more than a conqueror. No, 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 no. You are more than a conqueror. It's who you are in Jesus Christ. And I know some of you are facing giants in your life. Some of you are up against the odds. In fact, maybe everybody's in your ear going, you can't win this. You know, you may feel defeated. Some of you may have already given up. You are more than a conqueror. It's who you are. And when you know who you are, you know what to do. It affects how you live in your life. It's who you are. New day, friends. New strategy. Whatever it is that you're facing, that thing that I asked you to think about earlier, I want to suggest you fight with a conquering attitude, a new attitude. You know, here's what gets me and drives me crazy. Too many Christians are dealing with troubles, dealing with problems. Not much faith. In fact, they live life defeated all the time because they've lost the battle in the mind before they ever got up and started fighting. And here's what I'm suggesting, that you stand strong and you remember who you are in Jesus Christ, because you are more than a conqueror. What happens is your faith-filled attitude will spill into faith-filled action in your life. In other words, that godly belief leads you to God-honoring behavior in your life. The battle starts here. Some of you, you need to stop saying, I'm a victim. You know, everybody else gets breaks. I never get breaks. Nothing ever goes right for me. You just stop. I'm never going to meet anyone. I'll always be alone. What's wrong with me? The battle starts here, friends. Stop. I'll always be addicted. I will never beat this. We'll always be broke. We'll always live paycheck to paycheck. I'll never lose the weight. I'll never be able to forgive myself. I'll never be able to forgive them. My marriage, it's always going to be a bust. It's just the way it is. Quit it. Stop it. What are you doing? You are not a victim. That is not who you are. You are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. And when you're more than a conqueror, when you know who you are, you know what to do. You know how to live. I know how it is. You're moving down the road, and then you get these negative thoughts. They hit. They get in your head. I mean, what do you do with that stuff? Paul gives us some pretty good advice here. He says, we break down every thought and proud thing that puts itself up against the wisdom of God. All that negative stuff tries to get in your head. We take hold of every thought and make it obey Christ. In other words, you break down every thought. You think about what it is that's getting in your head. I can't do this. This is an impossible situation. I'm not going to survive. This is going to be awful. I'll always. And you go, no. You break it down. Remember who you are. Remember who God says you are. Paul, he said it this way, Philippians 4:13. He says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Scripture also says all things are possible with God. I don't have much faith. It's okay. Scripture says if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, a little tiny, itty-bitty mustard seed, it says you can move mountains. What you do, you grab every thought that is not consistent with God's word and you toss it out and you go, not here. Not in my life. You bring it into line with what God's word says, who God says you are. You bring it, you know, the word it says obey. Bring it into obey in Christ. Overcomer. It's who you are. I know when I talk on this topic, you know, people go, oh, well, that's fine for you. I mean, Pastor, you don't have real problems in your life. And I just want to go, really? Really? Seriously? Are you kidding me? I mean, I think about it. I spent almost a year in the hospital when I was young. They told me I was going to die. My first year in ministry, after 6 months, I left defeated. Remember going through a divorce when I was younger. Ended up working a job I hated. I mean, I hated it. Cindy and I first got married, and in a span of 5 months, her father died, her brother died, my father and brother went to prison, my mom had a nervous breakdown. I could go on and on this morning. situations, problems. I mean, this church is living testimony to the power of God. Overcomers. It's who we are. As Christians, we are overcomers. As a Christian, I understand I am an overcomer, not by my own strength, but by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the truth of what I have proclaimed throughout my entire ministry. It's the only way I know to live. Walls, obstacles, trials, avalanche of problems. I mean, David understood this. David writes this in the Psalms. He says, "In your strength, I can crush an army. With my God, I can scale any wall." I love that line. Hooper Nikaio, crush them. Hooper Nikaio, vanquish. Beyond recognition, with God's help, I can scale any wall. Amazing Spider-Man here. No wall that I'm not going over. No one's going to keep me from doing whatever it is that God wants me to do. Christians, it's who you are. I mean, do you believe that? You have the power to overcome any temptation, any hurdle, any wall. You know, fight with a conquering attitude. And fight with supernatural weapons. In other words, they are not weapons from this world. You know, Scripture says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does." The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, here we go, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We fight with supernatural weapons. You know, the Ephesians, the sixth chapter, it's a good read. It has a lot of weapons. Next series we do, we're going to talk about some of those weapons. But I don't have time to go into all of them, but I want to zero in on one weapon. It comes out of Ephesians 6:17. It says, "Put on salvation as your helmet." In other words, got to be a Christian to use these weapons. But it says, "And take this sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." One of the greatest weapons you have is God's word. You can stand strong and fight when you stand on God's word, which means you got to know God's word. In other words, you ought to be reading God's word. You ought to be studying, spending time, doing what we're doing today, talking about God's word. God's word is the weapon that you need when you're in the fight. The living word of God alive in your life. I mean, how many of you have seen the movie Princess Bride? It was on yesterday, by the way. I mean, how many of you are fans? I mean, I love that movie. All right. So help me a little bit. The main character, he's got this line he delivers over and over, and he goes, "Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. And you killed my father. Prepare to die." People that haven't seen the movie are going, "What?" You know, right hand, left hand, all that stuff. But he draws the sword and he wins the fight. That's what you need to do. Is draw the sword of the Spirit to draw God, on God's word. You know, when the enemy comes, you go, "Hello, I am more than a conqueror." Whatever the situation is, whatever it is you're facing, "You killed my father. You killed Jesus Christ. But he rose from the grave. And because of Jesus Christ's blood, because of God's power to bring him out of the grave, because of that, prepare to die. Prepare to die. Vanquish the enemy. Destroy the enemy. Some of you are facing situations and you're looking at it and going, what's the use? There is no way out. I am hemmed in. I am going to lose this. And what I am saying to you is fight. Fight. Fight with the supernatural weapons. Fight. Don't fight like a man, by the way. Fight like a man of God. Fight like a woman of God. You can't do it alone, in and of yourself. But with God, whatever that thing is that you think you can't get through, you can, because with God, all things are possible. If there's a wall in your way, God can destroy it. If there is a wall you're convinced you can't get past, God will help you scale it. God will crush the opponent. God will do that in your life. But Christians, remember who you are. You are more than a conqueror. More. I love this piece of scripture. Paul writes this. He says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. You know, that treasure, it's Jesus Christ in your life. It's the power of God in your life. You're the jar of clay again. We talked about that last week. But you have this treasure. And friends, the reality of that you have Jesus Christ in your life, the reality that you have God in your life, you have the power of God on your side, changes everything. John writes, he says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. He's talking about the problems. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in this world. Remember who you are, Christians. You are an overcomer. You are more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. You can do all things through Christ who will give you strength. Friends, God is stronger than whatever it is you're facing today. You got to remember that. You know, I challenge you to throw whatever it is at God's feet. You know, that wall, that problem, that crisis, that dilemma, that thing that's had its hold on you, maybe your entire life. And just say, no more. You know, God created you as more than a conqueror. We're going to have some folks up here after the service to pray with you. I challenge you, just bring, it may be big and it may be small, but bring it down and let people pray with you. Let today be the day you go, you know what, I remember who I am in Christ. There's that one thing that just always is in the back of my mind when I'm going through whatever I'm going through, you know, those times when the what ifs hit. And that is, God's on my side. And I will get through. I'm not sure what it's going to look like on the other side, but I'm absolutely sure that God's with me in that. And we're going to celebrate that in a moment with just as we worship. But let's stand and have a word of prayer together. Our holy God, you have created fearfully, wonderfully. And God, let us not forget all the, sometimes we think, all the fantastic stories that we read, and stories of David and Goliath and children of Israel, that you freedom, that your power that was displayed so many times when Jesus walked out of that grave. Sometimes we think, oh, that's for those stories, but God, help us to know that you mean for us to live that way. God, I am always amazed when things are right with you, that whatever it is that comes along, you really are on my side. And I know there are others here today that would give testimony in their life that you were there, powerful, present, knocking down the walls, given the power to scale over whatever they needed to scale over. God, we praise you. We give you glory for that. God, help us to just remember today who we are, who you say we are. And help us with a loud voice to proclaim that in this world. You are a mighty God. And you're worthy of all of our praise. You're a powerful God, able to move mountains. And oh, have you moved mountains? God, we give you the praise, we give you the glory. God's people said, amen.